Proverbs chapter 1 is where you can open your Bibles to this morning. We will actually be spending the majority of our time in Proverbs chapter 3, but I want to introduce that by having us begin in the very first pages of this book of Proverbs. And so we will look at Proverbs chapter 1 just briefly this morning on our way to Proverbs chapter 3. I believe most of us would be familiar with an American author and a humorist by the name of Mark Twain. And Mark Twain is very well known for this quote, and I'm quoting from him when he says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years." And really, Twain expresses in his own humorous way what is something that's quite common, that teens, or I guess there's a new group sometimes called tweens now, get to thinking that they have life all figured out, that they're independent, they're self-sufficient, they don't need old dad telling them what to do. Not interested in what dad has to say. And so as they reject the advice of their father, they join a school called the School of Hard Knocks. And that School of Hard Knocks begins to give them some advice over the next years of their life. And as they're getting advice in the School of Hard Knocks, all of a sudden they realize, you know, dad's advice really wasn't all that bad. Maybe he knew more about what he was talking about than I thought he did. Now, the truth is that it's not just teens and it's not just tweens who need advice. All of us need advice about how we should be living our lives. And that's why we're coming this morning to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that's just full of advice for us about how to live our lives. It's the kind of advice that a father would give to his own son or his own daughter because he loves that child. He wants to make sure that that child is protected from the kinds of things that would harm them and would excel in life. And so if you've read through the book of Proverbs, you've probably found this to be just a rich book of biblical godly advice for living life. And that's why I have you in Proverbs chapter 1. This is the introduction to the book. And in this introduction, it's very clear what this book is written for. Notice verse 1 of chapter 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Why has he written these things? Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. That's what we need. We need wisdom and instruction in all of these areas of how to live life. He goes on in verse 4, this is written to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So this is wise counsel from God about how to live life. And if you are wise, you will listen to what God has to say. And this wisdom, all of this wisdom begins, verse 7 tells us, with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Does everybody do that? Does everybody listen to this wise counsel? No. Look at the end of verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. As we finish up the last few days of 2018 and we head into a new year, really, I don't think that we need any more eggnog. And I don't think that we need any more Christmas cookies. And I might have some kids upset at me when I say this, but I really don't think that we need any more presents. I think that what we need as we head into a new year is some advice, some counsel from God. And that's why, very simply this morning, I'd like to just point us to some advice for the new year. You know, we're constantly bombarded with advice in this world. Advertising and marketing and commercials and all these things want to influence the way that we think. And so they give us advice about how they want us to think about certain issues. And they give us advice about the kinds of things we should be wearing or not wearing, and the kinds of things we should be buying, and what we should be doing in life, and what we should be eating, and all sorts of things. And really, a lot of that advice is probably not great advice. We can just ignore it, and that would be okay. But I want to give us some advice this morning. And as I do this, let me just say that this is not my advice. I'm not just adding my voice to a world of noise that's constantly trying to advise us about things. What I want us to do is to look to God's Word and see what God has to say as advice for the new year. I want us to hear this wise counsel from God. So turn probably just a page over in your Bible to chapter 3. And I'm not going to take a long time on all the things that we're going to look at this morning. Just make some comments on some of these things. But the first 12 verses of chapter 3 are just full of rich advice. And I'd like us to spend some time thinking about these things this morning. So read with me, if you will, please, the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. I'll read. You can follow along. Read, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." Can we just ask God's blessing and help as we look into His Word this morning? Father, we've just read that a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Lord, as we finish one year and head into a new year, if you would allow us the life to do that, we need your wisdom. We need your counsel. We need your advice. We need your help. Thank you that you've not left us without these things, that you've given us your word, and that in your word you've given us just the clear teaching on all these matters. And so this morning, give us ears to hear what you have to say. Give us humble, tender hearts to receive the things that you put before us. And right now, even before we begin, may our hearts commit to obeying the things that you put before us. We want you to be honored. We want you to take this time and use it for your purpose. So we ask for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3 is a rich section that gives to us six areas of life to consider. Six statements of advice, if you will, for the new year. Each of these statements is followed by a verse that encourages us to heed what God is saying in these verses. And so I've tried to just condense them down to six one-word commands, and I've struggled with that. They don't all fit, but I've tried my best. Six one-word commands that I hope you'll be able to remember beyond the back doors and maybe into New Year, okay? Six one-word commands of advice for us to follow as we head into the New Year. And the first is this from verses 1 and 2. Obey. Obey. You want some advice for how to live life in the new year? Okay, here's the first. Obey. Now, when you hear that, you say, oh, that's not new. That's not exciting. I was hoping for something a little better than that. I mean, you said this sounds like fatherly advice. Yeah, that sounds like fatherly advice. I remember my dad saying that all the time. Or I am a dad, and I say that all the time. Just obey. But you know, as we enter into a new year, these are the kinds of reminders that we need. This is crucial for you having a successful new year. You want to know how to live this next year? Okay, just obey. Notice that this command to obey is stated both positively and negatively in verse number one there. First, there's the negative. Do not forget my teaching. And then there's the positive. But let your heart keep my commandments. And really, things in life that are important to us, we treat in this way. We work hard not to forget them, and we work hard to make sure we keep them. I had the privilege not long ago to participate in a vow renewal service for Forrest and Kathy. I don't think they would mind me mentioning this. It was a precious privilege to be there. But marriage over 30 years has endured. And that marriage is built upon some vows, some promises that were made to one another a long time ago. And here they are 30 years later saying, I want to remember these things. I want to make sure I don't forget them. And they make these vows again to one another. I want to make sure I keep these things in my heart because this is very important. And this is how it ought to be for us. We ought to guard these things. That's the heart of this command. He says, don't forget my teaching. That word teaching that he uses there is actually the Hebrew word Torah. It's a word that's often used to speak of the law of God. And really what I think is described here is a father who is saying to his child, I've taught you God's law about how you should live your life. I've instructed you in these matters. And I want you, son or daughter, not to forget the word of God that I've taught you. Make sure you remember these things. Make sure you keep these things with your heart. You know, I think, that obeying from the heart is different than simply obeying as a matter of outward conformity. If you're a parent, you probably can give your child a command. Take that trash out. And the child can obey from outward conformity, right? Which means they're going to grab the bag and they're going to pull it out and they're going to drag it across the carpet, spilling coffee grounds all the way out. You can obey not from the heart, or you can obey from the heart. And here the admonition from God's word for us as we begin into a new year is not just to obey God in an outward, rigid, conforming type of way, but from our hearts that love and respect and appreciate our Lord and what he's done for us, to obey him in that way. If you glance across to chapter 4, verse 23, there's a great verse there, maybe to memorize or parents to talk over with your kids, but it says to guard or watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart, protect it. Why? Because it's like a spring that flows out. Everything you do in life comes right out of your heart. You live your life out of your heart. It is the control center of your life. It's who you are. So guard it. And as you obey God out of that heart. So if we're going to obey God and not forget what he has told us, then we need to know what God actually says. It's hard for us to obey something we don't know, or it's hard for us to obey something we've forgotten. And so the first piece of advice for us as we begin into a new year is to listen to God's word. And remember what he's speaking to us about and obey it. Keep it from your heart. Now that means that you're going to have regular times of instruction under God's word. You need it. No matter how old you are or how many times you've read the Bible, you need regular instruction from God's word. You need to be having personal, private time where you open up God's word every day and you spend time feeding your soul. You cannot obey something you do not know. Maybe you say, man, I tried that this last year, and it was a wreck. I mean, I think I made it 10 days into January, and I haven't opened my Bible since. That's the beauty of a new year, isn't it? That was last year. We've got a new year and a fresh start in front of us. You say, well, where do I read? I don't know. How about Proverbs? 31 chapters. Read one chapter a day. Listen to God's wise counsel for life. You can begin right here. And if you would listen to what God has to say every day, and not just pack it in your brain, but obey it with your heart, your new year will be different. No matter how old you are, this simple, wise advice is something that all of us need. Make a habit of hearing God's word and obeying it. There's a blessing that comes with it. You see it there in verse number 2. Not take a long time to mention this. One of the commentators, Warren Wiersbe, has a great little summary statement of verse 2. He says this, obedience to the word can add years to your life and life to your years. So obey God's word. Second piece of advice for this new year, display. Display. Well, what do we display? Look at verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. So display what? Display kindness and truth. This is where I said I've stretched a little bit with a one-word command. I can't get it all in. But display kindness and truth. Stores. You guys remember what those things are? We used to go there and we used to shop in these places. They were buildings that had stuff before you sat on your couch and shopped on your phone. Stores used to have these windows in the front called display windows. And they would put items in those windows to give you an idea of all the merchandise that is sold inside that store if you were to go inside there. And I think that's the sense of what this verse is saying here. Display, right up front in your life on a regular basis, display a couple beautiful items, a couple items that demonstrate what's inside your heart, who God is making you to be. Display kindness and truth for all to see. These are just pictures of the merchandise of what ought to be in your heart, the fruits of the Spirit that God is building into your life. But right up front in the front display window are these two things. Kindness, it's the Hebrew word that's often used throughout Scripture. Chesed, it's a word that speaks of loyal, faithful love. Mercy, as it's translated many times, or graciousness. Display this kindness and truth. It's a word that speaks of honesty and faithfulness and trustworthiness. It says there in verse number 3, do not let these things leave you. Don't ever be in a position of life where you are without kindness and without truth. And I think that's why verse 3 continues there by saying, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. This is to be who you are. It's supposed to be with you all the time. There was a day when all of our life and all of the things that we know was not contained on a 4-inch screen that's in our pocket or our purse, right? If you wanted to have something with you, you had to have it with you, which sounds dumb now that I say that out loud. But what I mean is, if you wanted someone's phone number, remember you had to carry around a little booklet of all the phone numbers that you had, right? If you wanted to read a book, you actually had to have the book, not just a book on your phone or your tablet. If you wanted something with you, you kept it with you. It was with you everywhere you went. And really, that's the point of what's being made here. Don't be caught without this mercy or this kindness and this truth. It ought to go with you everywhere you go. These are the kinds of things that ought to go to work with us every day in 2019. Kindness and truth. These are the kinds of things that need to go with you, mothers who go into the grocery store with these children and you're trying to purchase items and their arms are grabbing things off the shelf and it's taking 3 times longer than it ought to take. Kindness and truth. These are the kinds of things that ought to go with you kids to school. Kids who are just notorious for saying incredibly harsh things to one another or behind the privacy of your screens, saying things to people you would never say to their face. Kindness and truth. These are the kinds of things that ought to go into that difficult meeting with you as you sit and you talk about tough topics. These are the kinds of things that ought to be constantly in your marriage as you speak to one another, you deal with one another. Kindness and truth. This loyal kindness and a heart that desires to speak only truth are rare in our world today. Kindness is something that seems like it is extinct. People care only for one person, themselves. And as we care only for ourselves, it's very difficult for us to be kind, to be compassionate, to be merciful and faithful to other people. And truth is exaggerated as stories are told again and again to make ourselves look good and other people look bad, or it's simply exchanged for flat-out lies. We just say things that aren't true. Friends, we need kindness and truth to be with us every day in 2019. That ought not be so of us that we are found without them. And so verse 4 gives us some hope here that the blessing of favor and a good repute in the sight of God and man will be yours if you make kindness and truth a part of your daily practice in the new year. So obey and display. Third, trust. Really familiar verses from Proverbs chapter 3 here, verses 5 and 6 admonish us to trust our God. From your vantage point where you sit today, you can look back across a year called 2018, and you can see the kinds of things that that year held for you. You didn't know those things when you sat at the end of 2017 a year ago, but now you do. And we sit at the exact same position now looking into a year that lies in front of us. You don't know what next year holds. You don't know the great blessings that God may have for you. You don't know the great difficulties that might be in store for you. And so, verse 5 commands us to trust in God because He does know. The Bible makes it very clear that our God is a God who is all-knowing. And that means you can't surprise Him. He's not caught off guard by any event in life. He knows all things. You, on the other hand, are not all-knowing. And you will be surprised by some events of life this year. You will be caught off guard by some things. Your knowledge is insufficient to even know what next year holds. And it's insufficient to know how to deal with the things that next year will bring. You don't know how to handle the situations that are going to come up. You don't have the wisdom to make the choices that you need to make as life presents different things to you. You don't know what to do if life has big changes you didn't foresee, or if some plans that you wanted to work out just don't work out. You don't know those things. And so verse 5 tells us here, don't depend, or the words lean on, your own understanding, but instead, trust, it says, in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, trust is something that we don't just give to people that we don't know. We don't just trust people with all sorts of things. I don't just, you know, go into the bathroom at a grocery store. Hey, excuse me, sir, would you mind watching my kids while I'm in the bathroom? We don't trust people we don't know. And I think some of our hesitancy to trust the Lord with all our heart really comes down to this point that we don't know Him as well as we think we do. If we did, we wouldn't struggle to trust Him. I told you earlier this year that I didn't intend to benefit from something that I greatly benefited from. When we were on vacation, my wife was reading a book about William Carey to our children for their benefit. And I greatly benefited from that biography of William Carey. And it happened to me again this past weekend. Our kids got a little book for Christmas about Sammy the sheep and Sammy's shepherd. And it's a book that's really intended for children to understand the 23rd Psalm, to understand what it means and to apply it to their lives. And it tells the story of this little sheep named Sammy. And my wife was reading it to our kids while we were traveling in the car this week. And again, I greatly benefited from it because as it pictures there, a little sheep who can lie down and rest. Why? There's no fear for provision. There's no fear of safety. There's no fighting with other sheep. The good shepherd is taking care of all those things. Friends, we have a good shepherd. Psalm 23 makes that very clear. And if we know him, we should trust him. May God help us in this new year to remember that our God is always good. And no matter what happens, we can trust him with all our hearts. So verse 6 tells us if we want God's direction in life, if we want him to make our paths straight, then we need to acknowledge him. We need to include him in our lives. We need to seek his face. We need to wait on him. Pastor Young would often remind us to include God or bring him into the picture of life in all parts of life. If we fail to do that, life gets a skewed picture. So always trust in God. Fourthly, the fourth piece of advice, verse 7 and 8 tells us here, is to fear. Fear. In your own eyes, you can believe yourself to be something that you actually aren't. Now, to prove this to myself, I wrote that sentence. And then I went to Google and I typed in, man who believes he is a, and I let Google fill in the rest like it does, right? And it pops up dog. I'm sure, let's see what this is all about. And I read a news article about a man, middle-aged or a little bit beyond middle-aged, who believes that he is actually a dog. He eats dog food. Pedigree is his favorite. He does eat other food as well, but he eats dog food. He likes milk bones. He likes dog cookies. He even sleeps in a dog house up in his attic that he has built. When he goes out, he dresses up in a dog costume. He actually believes that he is a dog. And I guess in your own eyes, you can believe yourself to be something that you're actually not. So just because you believe yourself to be wise doesn't mean that you actually are wise. And what counsel we need as we look to verse number 7 when it tells us, do not be wise in your own eyes. You see, the Bible calls us to see ourselves as we actually are. And if we're going to see ourselves as we actually are, we need perspective. We need to see God as he actually is. This is something the Bible calls the fear of God. It's seeing God for who he is. And in the light of seeing him for who he is, we understand who we are. You know, Isaiah was a prophet of God, greatly used of God. But in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah gets a privilege. He gets to see God in a way he's never seen God before. And you can read it there in your own time. But Isaiah chapter 6 describes that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up on his throne. He saw the glory of God. He saw the power of God. He saw a beautiful display of the holiness of God. And you know what Isaiah did when he saw those things? Let me read from you from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Here's what Isaiah says when it's his turn to respond. Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's what a right view of God does. It puts us in our place. A right fear of God keeps us humble. A right fear of God keeps us pure. Notice the end of verse 7 says, as we're not wise in our own eyes, we fear the Lord and what? We turn away from evil. A right view of God keeps us humble and pure. It keeps us from becoming wise in our own eyes. Friends, one of the best, one of the healthiest things that you can do, and I borrow from the language of health because that's really what verse 8 uses here, right? One of the healthiest things that you can do in 2019 is not just to give up eating chocolate and hit the gym every morning. You can do that. If you want to leave your chocolate somewhere, you can leave it on my desk. That's fine. You can do that. And that's a good thing. But one of the best and the healthiest things that you can do in 2019 is to cultivate the necessary habit of learning to fear God for who He is. And learning to live in obedience and humility and submission before Him. Fear God. Fifth, honor. Honor. Notice verse 9 tells us here, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Honoring God in this way is really acknowledging God's help and His provision for us in life. It's thanking God for His kindness. In our society that we live in today, many of us are removed from the agricultural aspects that much of the Bible would have known very well in that culture. We don't see food growing that much. We don't recognize that the rain and the sun is necessary for the food and our dependence on it. Food just shows up at the grocery store in these big long trucks and we just get it, right? And since we don't see God providing the sun and the rain and these things, many times we fail to recognize our dependence upon God for all those things like past generations would have known. And since we don't recognize our immediate dependence on God, we also fail to thank Him for what He provides. But verse 9 is a good reminder for us, isn't it? That God provides our needs, all of our needs. And we should thank Him for His provision. We should honor Him for His provision. It is God who gives us life. It is God who sustains our lives. It is God who allows us to have possessions in life and to share those possessions with other people. Therefore, we should honor Him with our wealth. Yes, but with our time, with our talents, with our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and He makes a statement there where He says that where your treasure is, your heart is. So if we are reluctant to share with God our possessions, it really is an indication that our possessions have become our God. And God is the one who has given us these things. To withhold them from giving to Him or sharing with Him and others really is to do damage to ourselves. Notice verse 10 makes it clear that as we honor God and give to Him, verse 10 says, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God gives to those who give. How can we be stingy and possessive of what we have when God has given to us so abundantly from His grace? Now, as I say that, I'm not wanting to be hard, okay? Can I just take a second to commend you? This is one of the most generous churches I've ever known. We announced a need for a family in our church not very long. We took an offering last Sunday. You didn't have much time to know about it. You gave a very generous offering. You are a very giving church. But part of what God wants to remind us as we head into a new year is that we are to honor Him with all that we have. We don't just pay God off with a check every month so He can leave us alone. We honor Him with all of our lives. When God saves us, He places us into His body, and He gifts us with gifts for His body. So are you using the gifts that God has given you in His service in this body? Are you honoring God with what He's given you? Maybe as you come to the end of this year, you say, you know what? Next year, it's time for me to quit wasting my gifts, my talents on myself, and use them in God's service. You say, well, I don't want to preach. I'm not asking you to preach. People are gifted differently. Some people were out here on Christmas Eve shoveling snow. That's a tremendous blessing. Dorsey was down there cooking eggs and ham this morning. That's a tremendous blessing. There are people who clean up the auditorium when this service finishes. There are men who usher. There are ladies who are sitting with our children. There are people who are instructing our children. There are many different ways for you to get involved, but get plugged in. Use your gifts in God's service to honor Him. Sixth, last this morning, and I'm done. Verse 11 and 12 remind us to respond. Respond. There are verses that talk about discipline. Discipline isn't the kind of thing we normally find ourselves thankful for, and yet verse 11 and verse 12 are really encouraging us in this matter that we should appreciate God's discipline in our life. Now that sounds weird, doesn't it? Why would we appreciate God's discipline? Discipline hurts. Yeah, it does. But discipline also tells us something else. It tells us that God loves us. Notice verse 12 reminds us of that. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves. God wants what's best for you, like a father who wants what's best for his child. And so He instructs in what's right, but He also reproves. He corrects when we do wrong. You know, if God did not love you, He would not discipline you. He would let you live your life your own way, making a wreck of it. And the fact that God disciplines you is a demonstration of His love for you. You belong to Him. That's what was read for us by Dorsey this morning from Hebrews chapter 12, that God disciplines those who are His children. If He's not disciplining you, be careful, because it can be a good indication you do not belong to Him. Verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us, He disciplines us for our good so that we may share His holiness. That's a good thing. That's what God wants for you this next year. So, verse 11 says, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. Don't reject it. Yield to God's pressure in your life this next year. And there will be times of God's discipline and times of His pressure, but listen to Him. Yield to Him. You can't fight with God and win. Read the book of Jonah if you think you can. Who tries to fight with God and loses that fight? Listen to God's voice. Respond quickly. Receive the kinds of things that God is wanting to do in your life. And rejoice that He loves you and that you belong to Him. This year, as God is working discipline in your life, respond very quickly to His hand of chastening. If you can think back to summertime when we had this little round pen demonstration out here with this horse. Here's a horse that's not been broken, not been around people. And in the center of that round pen is someone who's giving this horse some commands. If that horse would yield to that command and obey, life was good and easy. But remember what happened when that horse stiffened up his neck and he looked away? Life got hard. And the horse trainer, Bob Toomer, said, okay, we'll just let him run. We'll make life hard for him so that he'll start looking in and listening. Friends, that's what a loving father does. He wants your heart. And he'll discipline you so he can get your heart. So respond to God's discipline. Good advice for a new year. Obey, display kindness and truth. Trust, fear, honor, and respond. It's a good start to a new year. If we would strive to practice these things and listen to God's voice in our life, I think that this new year would be the best year yet. Wise men don't need advice, Benjamin Franklin said, and fools won't take it. I think that all of us need advice. I pray that all of us would take this advice. Can we pray together? Lord, You alone know what next year holds for us. You are the infinite, eternal, all-wise God. Nothing will happen that is outside of your control and your provident purpose. You work all things after the counsel of your own will. But Lord, our lives are in your hands, and we don't know what this next year holds. And we want, by your help and by your grace, to learn to cultivate these aspects of our lives. We want this next year to be better than this last year was. We want it to be different. We want to be the kind of people you want us to be. We want you to be at work in us. As we trust in you, we want to see you guiding us. When we stray from you, Lord, we want your hand of discipline in our life. We want to receive it and rejoice in what you've done. So, Lord, in a quiet moment like this, as we think through these matters of advice, may we, from a humble heart, commit ourselves to be obedient to these things in this next year. And as we obey, we pray that you would change us and use us for your glory. And Lord, we just want to say that we trust you with all our hearts, and we want what you want for us because we know that what you have is best. So help us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.